In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dear faithful, paradoxically, we know that change is one of the constants of life. And how can we be expected to keep up? Does the good Lord not know how very tiring this is, how very vexing, prone to throw us off our guard and wear us out? These sentiments are perhaps among the groans and the murmurs of our hearts as we combat the challenging circumstances of our daily lives. Again, in paradox, it is the events that feel the most repugnant to our nature which hold the greatest potential for our growth in virtue. St. Francis de Sales teaches that it is this quality, this virtue of firmness or constancy in doing what is right through all the changes in life, which most makes a man resemble God. It brings the operation of reason in him to perfection, making it so that while his passions may make themselves felt, he remains the master over them. The constant man does not make his decisions because of his passions. He may use them in the performance of his good works, and only insofar as this corresponds to God's will. St. John Chrysostom certainly has useful counsels for us regarding the necessity of constancy in this changing life. If we do not remain constant, we see how quickly we will be overcome by the variety, the instability, the accidents of this short life. What would we like? What would please us? We would just love a straight, wide, flat, open, and smooth path through life, one devoid of difficulties, of contradictions, of pain. We would love to find a life filled with nothing but God's consolations and no dryness in prayer. The good without the slightest mix of evil mixed in. We would love health that never falls to sickness. Rest without having to work. Peace that is never troubled. But who does not see this for the insanity that it is? We desire what cannot be. Remember that the purity of eternal bliss is found only in paradise. The good, the rest, consolation, this is found there in perfect purity without any mix of affliction. And in hell is found perfect evil, despair, and trouble in its purity. But on this earth, everything is mixed up. That is our reality. Nothing is stable or permanent here because it is not the place for our rest. The man who is constant recognizes this, and he does not allow himself to be upset by the constant changes. He knows that health often gives way to sickness, honor to dishonor, riches to poverty. And hard though it is to accept, it is a great abuse to not want to suffer or feel disrupted by the changes of this life. They are what God wills for us, for our purification. Most of our contemporaries, unfortunately, do not set a good example for us. Most people let themselves be governed by their passions, not by reason. They let their feelings determine when they go to bed, when they get up in the morning, in their conversations with others. They'll accommodate themselves to those who please them and remain cold and unbending with those who don't. Why are we so incredibly inconstant, especially in our works? Because we allow our varying moods or humors to govern us. And if we do not, by God's grace, gradually learn to govern ourselves by reason and not by our passions, we will spend our lives in doing nothing and losing time, time which is such a precious gift of God. The first step in combating this disorder is to make a firm resolution to serve God constantly, courageously and ardently, and with a certain hardiness, and without interruption, no matter the events that befall us, be they for prosperity or adversity. We can look again to the great St. John Chrysostom in his commentary on the Holy Family. Pause and reflect a moment, this saint tells us, on the continual changes and vicissitudes that each member of the Holy Family had to put up with. Our Lady, one moment, received the news that she would conceive of the Holy Ghost, a son who would be the Lord and Savior. What joy and jubilation must have been hers. But a short while later, Saint Joseph realized by the obvious signs that she was pregnant, and he knew that it was not because of him. This must have been an awful affliction and distress. And in turn, what a terrible affliction it must have been for Our Lady to see her dear spouse on the verge of leaving her, and by modesty not being at liberty to reveal to him the reason she was with child. She knew that not only she, but her holy spouse and foster father of our Lord, he too had received a great honor. But for the time being, he had to remain ignorant. A short while later, Saint Joseph having been told what happened by the angel, what sublime joy must have been his. And then again, shortly thereafter, both were once again plunged into distress when the angel told Saint Joseph to flee with the mother and child in the middle of the night, and that if they didn't, the child would be slaughtered. Imagine what we in Saint Joseph's shoes would have said to the angel. Give me at least a few hours to pack. Can't we leave in the morning? You don't actually expect me to just get up and leave with wife and child, carrying the child in my arms. We're going to be on foot the entire time. I don't have that kind of energy. What am I going to do? Take turns carrying him with my wife? Look at how young she is, how tender she is. I don't have a horse or money. And moreover, you're telling me to go to Egypt, the land of our sworn enemies. All of these things and more, dear faithful, these would have escaped our lips had we been in St. Joseph's shoes. We have not the constancy of the saints in good works, principally the duties of our state and life. But that is no reason to stop striving for it. God desires that this virtue grow in us. As we commemorated yesterday the anniversary of the first apparition of Our Lady of Fatima on May 13th, 1917, it seems fitting to recall one of her admonitions to the three young children. Pray a great deal, and make many sacrifices. For many souls go to hell because they have no one to make sacrifices and to pray for them. Saint Joseph, too, will come with the Holy Child to bring peace to the world. Our Lord will come to bless the people. Our Lady of the Rosary and Our Lady of Sorrows will come too. So indeed, let us strive to pray more and to make more sacrifices, especially those to which we're obliged by our work, by the duties of our state and life. Let us above all strive to offer sacrifices and prayers with more love than we have in the past. We have too often offered them up coldly, and more from our pride than to please God. Constancy and virtue in our works, this may be lacking in us, it is true. But there is one thing we can already be constant in: our resolutions and efforts of good amendment. Let us be so, and God will do the rest. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, Amen.